Friend, welcome back to Fig and Farm at Home. I have a fun, maybe fun isn't the right word for it, conversation for you today. It's inspired by my business coach and something that she challenged us with just the other day. And so I want to bring it to you too. And this idea of how are you getting in your own way? Of course, she's relating it to business, but it made me think about how are we getting in our own way when it comes to our homes? Are we self-sabotaging? And that might be a little bit strong of words, but the idea is the same. Are we getting in our own way? If our goal is to have a home that we're proud of, a home that feels cozy, a home that looks adult, a home that looks cohesive, a home that represents us in a way that we feel comfortable with, keeping in mind that we spend so much time at home and how you feel about it matters. There's a quote by James Clear that says, "Environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior." Think about that for a minute. Environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. And it's true. Think about all the times you've walked into your home and you felt stressed. You felt overwhelmed. And maybe it's the visual chaos. Maybe it is the physical chaos. But that is your environment. And putting effort into it, time into it, thought into it will shape your behavior, as James Clear is quoting here. And I couldn't agree more. So as we dive into today's topic, ways that we could be getting in our own way when it comes to decorating our home or really caring for our home, loving our home, creating an environment that really nurtures us, three things that could be getting in our way. I want you to think about if any of these resonate with you. I don't want you to just listen to the episode and then not act. I want you to be curious. I want you to ask yourself some other questions. And I want you to really have the confidence to take the next right step for you, whatever that is. All right, friend, enough chit-chat. Let's dive in so you can learn the three ways that you could be getting in your own way when it comes to home decorating and creating a house that you absolutely love. We grew up with the phrase, home is where the heart is, but our culture has shifted and now the message is, home should be Pinterest perfect. I'm calling BS on that message. Home, it's not about the stuff, it's about the story. And whether you know it or not, your home is a reflection of you and is already saying something. So what is it that you want it to say? Hey, I'm Danny, a former first grade teacher turned home decorator. Going from a dual income to a single income so I could stay home with my babies meant budget, like ramen eating, Goodwill shopping budget, and I learned a few things along the way, like how to bring big style to your home without breaking the bank, and I'm sharing it all with you. Tips, tricks, decor, and design advice so you can learn to tell your story with your style, where you can start living free from the Pinterest perfect trap and start living a life of intention. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home, where we design happy living and where it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. Before we dive into today's topic, I want to have you mark your calendar for May 1st. If you receive my newsletter May 1st, I want you to make sure you go to your email and open it and check your spam if you don't get anything, because May 1st, something big is coming to Fig and Farm at Home and I can't wait to share it with all of you. I have been working behind the scenes and I am tickled pink to bring more accessible design your way, more ways that you can dive in, lean into creating the space that you love coming home to have design at your fingertips in a way that is really exciting. Okay, if you're not on my newsletter, will you hear it here? Sure, you will, but you won't hear it until May 3rd. So if you would like to make sure that you get the news on the day it's released, May 1st, send me an email at hello@figandfarmathome.com and say, hey, I want to hear the news. I'm curious. All right, friends, let's dive into today's topic. Three ways you could be really getting in your own way when it comes to creating a home that you love. Now, before we really get going, what I want to mention is that sometimes when you hear things that could be a little triggering. They're not controversial, but they could be a little, well, one of them might be. They could be just a little triggering and it could raise, you know, the prickles in you. And I want you to think before you send an email that says, how dare you? I want you to think about why it could be making you feel a little prickly. Maybe there's a little truth there. And human nature tells us that we want to raise our defenses and to be able to defend ourselves. And gosh, I'm really setting this up well, aren't I? It really is not that bad. But anytime there could be an opinion that is just a little bit different, a little heavier hitting, it could be prickly. And I just want to make sure that you're aware that there's more going on there than just the deliverer of the news saying this opinion, right? And so as we are curious learners in Fig and Farm at Home, we're going to ask ourselves questions. We're going to peel back the layer of onions that say, why did that make me react that way? Or why did that trigger me that way? Why did I take offense to that? And I want you to ask yourself that question, because that question is going to help you know which next step to take. Okay, so three ways. The first way that you could be getting in your own way when it comes to decorating your home is to post on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are, and ask the question of all of your friends, and I am air quoting friends, what should I do here in this corner? What color should I paint my room? What, getting the opinion of friends, and again, air quote, of a mass group of people when it comes time to making decisions. Don't do that. I have my stern teacher mama voice on. Don't do that. Why would you not want to do that? Well, let me tell you why. Because what's going to happen is you are going to hear, let's say you have a Facebook page and you have 1,222 friends on that page. You're not going to get 1,222 responses, but you're probably going to get several. People have opinions, and those opinions are going to be shared. And that's fine, but you might hear something from Becky who tells you, oh, this is great. Get the animal hide rug and paint it teal green and with pink polka dots, and this is going to look so fantastic. Where Jenny might say, actually, let's go all beige. Let's do all neutral tones and forget the color. We don't want to do any color at all because that's too bold and too daring. And then you might have Rhonda over there in the corner saying, actually, both of you guys are wrong completely, and this is what you should do, and it's something completely different. And then you hear from Cousin Eddie, who loves it when you ask these questions. You know, you can picture the dinner table at Thanksgiving, right? Or Christmas, or anytime Cousin Eddie is there and they want to pipe in on their opinion and they know a whole lot about a whole little, but they are sure sharing in a very loud way. That's what happens when you ask an opinion question, a tell me your thoughts question inside of a public forum like Facebook or Instagram. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for opinions. In fact, I do want you to do that, but I want you to be really selective about who it is you ask. Because if you are going into that and you're already confused, you are confused. You're asking the question, hey, I'm wanting to redo my room. I'm wanting to paint my hallway. What color should I paint it? You're going to get a whole heck of a lot more confused when you ask that question. You're going to end up more confused than you started. Because so many different opinions are going to be thrown at you in a way that you are swatting at them like you're swatting a fly. So no self-sabotaging that way. Ask a friend. Yep, you find that friend, even if she's just an acquaintance. Hey, can I take you out to coffee and pick your brain? Yes, do that. Use the resources you have at hand. Ask those who have design sensibilities, who you know have design sensibilities and strong decision-making abilities in their own home, that you've seen it in action, in work, and ask them. Gosh, wouldn't it be so lovely to be able to answer that question? If they're not a designer, how honored would they feel to have you ask them? What a compliment. Hey, I noticed that you always seem to make really great choices. Your home looks so lovely all the time. What is your secret? What do you do? How do you know if this goes together with this? How did you know to make that choice? Be curious. I've shared before, if you've been around for a while, you know this is exactly how I got started. But this was still in the point of my journey where I had no clue that I had no clue, no reckoning, no understanding that I actually had it within me. But I was curious. And I asked my friend Beth and I asked my friend Kate, your homes always look so cute. how do you do it? How did you know that this went here and that went there? And I would ask them questions. Where did you get that? How did you know? Oh, you painted that? Oh, wait, you made that? This is remarkable. Okay, I know I can make things too. And I started to become curious and take risks here and there. One of my favorite risk-taking things, which, Mr. Fig and Farm, you're not listening, right? Okay, I hope not. If you are, you have to tell me. I love it. Love it, love it. When Mr. Fig and Farm goes out of town. Yeah, if he's listening, he knows what's going to happen because there's always a project when he is out of town. And there is a out-of-town trip coming up for a quite a long time, actually. And do I have a project in my mind? Yep, you better betcha I do. I am curious and I'm constantly experimenting with how I can not only grow my skills, but I want to make my home a reflection of my family. I want it to be useful and beautiful, and I want it to be a place I don't hate coming home to. There are times, of course, throughout any given week where I feel a little overwhelmed by my space. You've heard me say soccer bags on the floor. Yeah, when I trip over them, that feels overwhelming. When I know I'm expecting a guest and I have my art project laid out on the kitchen table, yeah, that can feel overwhelming. But that's life. I want my home to be used. But once I take away and I tidy up, I want my landscape of my home to feel relaxing. I want it to feel inviting. I definitely don't want it to feel pretentious. And I want it to feel like someone who's walking in can immediately feel welcome. And part of that to me isn't just in the way that I greet them at the door. Part of that is the environment I've set up for our family. The way I've carefully picked pieces of art that reflect my story. The way that I've carefully displayed things on my bookshelf that are not only useful, but beautiful. And if the people who come over don't notice, I don't really care. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. But I want it to be my best self forward. I want it to feel like a respite for them too. And let me just go on a side note here. Why do I want that? And why do I want that for you? I know what it feels like to walk into a home and feel unwelcome, not only from the host who might be greeting me or not greeting me, but not feel welcome because the environment feels uncomfortable. The physical environment feels uncomfortable. I know what it feels like because I grew up in a home like that. It felt uncomfortable to invite people over. It felt uncomfortable to want to host things like birthday parties, graduation parties, have my girlfriends over for dinner. It felt uncomfortable. Now, I say that. Now, this is a very vulnerable piece of my story being shared here. And what you need to know is that I absolutely adore my parents. I absolutely love them. And I know that they did the best that they could with what they had. But it didn't reflect us as a family. And it certainly didn't serve our family. And that's probably why I tended to beautiful things, quite honestly. It's probably why I tend to take stock of making an effort in my home. Going back to that quote by James Clear, environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. Yeah, that environment shaped my behavior in a big way. I didn't feel comfortable inviting people over to my own home. And if I did invite people over, wow, I had to know them so well. I had to trust them implicitly. And I had to know without a shadow of doubt that they would not judge. And then I invited them over. And of course, then we giggled with my parents and they made us all laugh. And my mom cooked lovely food and we had a great time. But that environment shaped human behavior. And you, my dear, have as the homeowner, as the mama of that castle, as the queen of that castle, you have the power here. Your environment should not be shaping you. You should be shaping your environment. And if you are staying stuck, ask yourself why you're staying stuck. Because if it's the money, girl, it is not the money. It is not. There are many things you can do free without spending a single dime. There are many things you can do. And there are many things you can do by spending $50, $100, being curious, taking risks, and asking yourself, what is the next right step for me, is all part of that journey. Okay, I'm off that little side note, that little tangent. Okay, the second thing that you could be doing that could be sabotaging or getting in the way of creating an environment that really serves you, that you delight in, is copying a picture you find on Pinterest. Yep, I said it, and I will say it until I am blue in the face. Do not do that. Just as much as you shouldn't ask every Tom, Dick, and Harry on Facebook what they think, what color they you should paint your home, don't take a picture on Pinterest and copy it. Why not? It's a beautiful picture. Yes, it is a beautiful picture. And you really should pat yourself on the back. And I'm not being patronizing, but pat yourself on the back for recognizing a beautiful picture. But there's so much that goes into that picture. There's so much that if we were to pull apart all of the teeny tiny different design elements of what made that picture beautiful, to replicate that in our own home would often be like putting a square peg into a round hole. Every once in a while, you will get it right. Every once in a while. But here's what often happens. What often happens when I hear people say, oh, I just found it on Pinterest. I just copied the whole design on Pinterest. It makes me cringe and kind of shrink over. Because it could be a ginormous, well, two things could happen. It could be a ginormous waste of money because you have just purchased all kinds of things that now create not just one bully in your space, but a massive, a whole room, honestly, a whole room of bullies. And bullies, we know that those are things that command and demand attention in negative ways. Well, bullies can be beautiful, friends. They can. Bullies can be gorgeous. But if that bully is not playing nicely with the other things in your home, or if you don't know how to tie that beautiful bully into the other elements within your home, it's just going to be nothing but a beautiful bully. That's what it's going to be. And recognizing a beautiful picture on Pinterest is a start for sure. Absolutely. But knowing what makes up that beautiful picture is really the key to great design, because it's all in the details. And then knowing how to take those details and sprinkle them throughout your home, that's how you make your home cohesive. So it's really a matter of going back to the basics. If you were there for my Back to Basics boot camp, that's what we talked about. We talked about understanding your personal aesthetic. That is, without a doubt, the number one thing you could and should do if you want to decorate your home. It is number one. Because when you have that down, you can then go to the next step and make it cohesive, which is anti-janky, anti-wonky, anti-thrown together. It is opposite of that feeling that you might get when you think, why does everyone else have the decorating gene except for me? Cohesive is opposite that. And that's what we all hope for, because it makes it look put together. And then when it looks put together, that's when it starts feeling cozy. Now, it doesn't mean that you have matchy, 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 matchy things, because there is so a rule that is too much of a good thing is really too much. But when they tie together in ways that are just teeny tiny, it is the thing that makes it cohesive. And that makes it feel cozy. So friend, don't just copy a Pinterest picture. Gather it, sure, but study it. Be curious. Ask yourself, what is it about this picture that makes me feel whatever it is you're feeling? What is it about this picture that I like? What are the teeny tiny little details that I am drawn to in this picture? And remember, you're going deeper than it's nice, it's pretty, it's lovely, it makes me feel cozy. You're going deeper than that. Okay, now, buckle up. I feel like I've been using strong language. I feel like I've had my teacher voice on, but know that this is all in your best interest, because I know, friends, where you were. I know where you are. I know that it, honestly, it sucks to be stuck. Can I just say that? It does. To know that you can recognize that beautiful picture, but you don't know how to make it in your own home. You don't know how to translate it. It's like learning a foreign language. You know that there's importance there, but you just don't know how to decipher it. And that's what it's like. And friend, this podcast is meant for you. It's meant to help you decipher. It's meant to help you be curious and ask questions and to get the help when you need the help. All right, number three. This is where I want you to buckle up, because what I'm about to say, I think might ruffle some feathers. I think might cause your eyebrows to raise. I think might cause you to spit out your water. Okay, I'm being dramatic. I don't think you're going to spit out your water. But I do think you're not going to like what I have to say. And I do want to just say that Well, I'm just going to say it. We're just going to rip off the Band-Aid. Are you ready? It's like, I saw this ad one time about these jeans from The Gap or Old Navy or somewhere. And this was, of course, like a fashion blogger who said, okay, I'm just going to rip off the Band-Aid. Gap jeans and Old Navy jeans. Maybe it wasn't Old Navy. I don't know. One of them. These are mom jeans. These are mom jeans. And of course, we know now that mom jeans are back in style, but they weren't back when I was reading that quote. So here I am. I'm going to pull off the Band-Aid and tell you this. This thing could be getting in the way of creating a home that you love. It could be getting in the way of making a space and an environment that you delight in, that you're proud of, that you are excited to bring your friends over to, you're excited to host whatever it is you're hosting, this thing right here. And it's a biggie. And that is the advice. And this comes a lot of times from people on Facebook in those group chats. Just decorate with what you love. And if you tuned in last week, you will have heard my podcast episode interview with Michaelyn Smith. And I just love her because she has very poignantly said, that is just bad advice. And you know what? It is. It's just bad advice. Decorate with what you love. But why? Right? I mean, shouldn't you love the things you bring in your home? Shouldn't you love that? Yes, you should. You absolutely shouldn't bring in things that you love. But let me paint this picture for you. Let's say I go to the flea market. Let's say I have gone to four different stalls and I'm looking for art and I find four different pieces of art. And one is very Southwestern-ish and it's really lovely. It has earth tones and turquoises and it's got this really kind of vintage, gaudy frame. Maybe wood from the 80s with some brass border. Can you picture this? And then, you know what? Oh gosh, I really love this art and it's really super modern. And I can tell that it's really modern. It's like that rainbow design and it looks very boho and it's really light and airy. And wow, those are two different styles, but wow, I really love both of those. And then I go to another section and it's super abstract and maybe a little 1980s. If you're picturing some Duran Duran style art, I am too. And it's kind of that really funky, geometric, bold colors, just not really anything art. And then we go to number four. And number four is maybe an Ansel Adams photo. And how different all four of these are. Can you picture them in your mind? But I love all four. Yes, fantastic. All four are wonderful. But you can love something, you can appreciate something, and still not bring it home because it's not your aesthetic. And you can love something and appreciate something and, of course, then go back to your aesthetic and tie it in. Look at those design elements to be able to tie it in so that it doesn't look like such a bully in your space. But when you decorate, when you use that advice of decorating with what you love, and that is the only advice you follow, sometimes what happens is you end up with a hodgepodge. You end up with things that don't necessarily blend together, go together, feel like they should cohabitate in the same space. And you might not necessarily recognize that, but the thing that you could be recognizing is this doesn't feel quite right. This doesn't look quite right. Or this question, I loved it in the store and I brought it home and something doesn't quite feel right. It never looks quite right. It never looks good when I bring it home. And that is probably why, because you can recognize that you love it, but everything that you love doesn't necessarily need to come and live with you. When we can tie what it is we love and what it is we gravitate to and filter it through our aesthetic and make sure that that aesthetic is cohesively placed throughout our home, that's when you can decorate with the things that you love and you should decorate with the things you love. But everything you come in contact to doesn't need to come into your space. Oh, friend. I feel like the deliverer of very bad news, but I think there's hope here. And here's what I want to encourage you with. What I want to encourage you with is to not sit in that space of staying stuck. If any of those three things that I just mentioned are ways that you stay stuck, then I want you to be curious. Ask yourself the next question. Well, if I can't ask my Facebook group about the color of paint I should paint on the wall, who should I ask? That is the next question. Okay, we know. Don't ask that group. Who can you ask? Do you have anyone in your life that you trust, that you admire, that you think, oh, these design sensibilities are fantastic, that would treat you and your questions with respect and honor? Do you have that in your life? And if you do, ask them. Gosh, how honored would they be? I bet they would be tickled pink. And if you're looking at Pinterest and you're thinking, okay, I want to copy this. No. Don't copy the whole room, but use that as a tool. Absolutely use it as a tool. Just go deeper. Ask yourself the next question. What is it about this picture I like? Oh, I like the couch. Well, what is it about the couch I like? Oh, I like the color. Okay, well, what is it else about the couch you like? Oh, I like this. And you keep asking yourself the next question. And the last one, decorating with everything that you love. How does that tie back into your aesthetic? Friends, we talk about all of this inside of Home Design 101. We talk about making sure that you are using those filters very carefully to know how you can be intentional in the things that you bring into your home, the decisions you're making, the money you're spending, the pieces you're selecting, all of that. It reminded me just the other day of asking for help in areas that you know that you need help with. I mean, it's a no-brainer. When we want to lose weight, where do we go? We might find someone on YouTube, some exercise videos on YouTube. We might go there, dive in, really go deep and start doing the exercises. Maybe we join a gym and we get the help from there, the accountability from that workout class that we go to every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Or most recently in my own life, taxes. Oh goodness, they're done. They are done. But wowzers, when I was in my earlier days, I could do them by myself. It was no big deal. As they got a little bit more complicated, as I had a little bit more questions, who did I go to? I did my taxes and then I hired someone, H&R Block, to help me make sure I got it all right, make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay, who am I kidding? Mr. Fig and Farm did this. He hired the person. And now it's just too complicated. There are too many questions. There are too many layers. It's too deep. Now we have to hire someone entirely. Your home should be no different. If you need help, there is help available. Knowing where to go, that's up to you. Knowing who to trust, that's up to you to decide. But there is help available. All right, friends, I'm going to link Home Design 101 inside of the show notes so you can come and check it out. There are 9 modules for you to walk through. That sounds like a lot, but it's not, because we start at the very beginning. Literally, the room you want to start with, assessing what it is that you want that room to do for you and how it currently is not. And then we move on from there, talking all kinds of things about choosing paint colors, really understanding your aesthetic, because remember, that is the key, that is the foundation, and using that as a way to then bring in a cohesive design. How do you make it look like that magazine picture? And not because of the perfection, but because it looks like these were intentional choices. How do you do that all without breaking the bank? We talk about it all, friends, including styling tips, including my roadmap for what to spend, when to spend, depending on where you start on your journey of decorating. And it's all in there, plus monthly office hours where you get your questions answered. You get my eyes on your space and you get lots of feedback. And you better put on your tennies when you come, because every once in a while I make you move furniture. All right, friend, if you want that level of support, come on over. We have always more room at the table for you. Until next time, friend, I will see you soon.
Hey, real quick before you go, if you learned something new or found value in today's podcast, would you head over to iTunes to Fig and Farm at Home and leave a review and subscribe to the show? That would be awesome. And if you'd like to connect with my community of mamas who are learning to be intentional storytellers within their own homes, join us at bit.ly/design101group. There's always more room at the table. See you soon.